This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue our walk through the Psalter, reflecting on Psalms 132 through 136. The Lord has chosen Zion. How good and pleasant it is. Our God is above all gods, the idols of the nations, and give thanks to the Lord. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Open my lips,
and my mouth shall declare your praise. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Hallelujah.
us, enlighten us in the true faith.
A reading from Hebrews chapter 6. For when God made a promise to Abraham, since he had no one greater by whom to swear, he swore by himself, saying, "Surely I will bless you and multiply you." And thus Abraham, having patiently waited, obtained the promise. For people swear by something greater than themselves, and in all their disputes an oath is final. For confirmation. So when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeable character of his purpose, he guaranteed it with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain, where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets.
But now, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Dearly beloved, Jesus became the high priest through God's oath. This is not obvious. We think he became man. He's incarnate. Of course, he's the high priest. But that's not actually how it happened. It has to be stated, he became the high priest through God's oath. Now, what oath is that? Where is it found? It's in Psalm 110. The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So that passage is saying that there is a second person besides the Father, besides the Lord Yahweh, who is David's Lord, even though at the time he was the supreme king on earth, according to God's order. So there will be a Lord of David. That is, he will be a king, and he will also be an eternal priest. That's what God swore. And it could only mean Jesus Christ. So Jesus became the heavenly eternal high priest through God's oath. Now, do you really know what an oath is? A lot of times I think people don't know what an oath is. An oath is a promise with a threat. It's a solemn promise that either explicitly or implicitly implies a threat or a curse against the oath breaker. It is not a vow. A lot of times we mess this up. A vow is a bargain with God, one that God accepts, a bargain with God. For example, if God will do this for me, I will sacrifice an ox for him. There are actually a lot of examples of vows throughout the Old and New Testaments, such as the Old Testament Nazirite vows, or when Hannah prayed in the temple in 1 Samuel 1, asking God to give her a son, and if he did, she would give him to the Lord, that is, to serve as a priest his whole life. So that's a vow. But an oath is a solemn promise, calling upon God to witness and punish the oath breaker. And there are ceremonies. The ceremonies involve touching something holy, or at least raising one's hand to heaven, as though to say, if I do not do what is promised, may God in heaven curse me. That's an oath, not a vow. In English, we often confuse the words and speak about a vow when what we really mean is an oath. We speak of wedding vows and ordination vows, but really, those are oaths. An oath has a threat. It's a promise in which you call upon God to harm you or kill you, or damn you if you're telling a lie. In the Old Testament, the same Hebrew word, Allah, is used to mean both oath and curse. And this becomes clear in the Old Testament. For example, Saul said to Jonathan, God do so to me and more also, you shall surely die, Jonathan. And Jonathan said to David, the Lord do so to Jonathan, and more also, if I do not disclose it to you and send you away. In fact, in the Old Testament, those who are learning Hebrew will probably learn this, that in order to introduce an oath, it just starts with the word if. It just starts with if, but that's translated into English almost always as surely I will do this thing, or surely I will not do this thing. So those are oaths, and they have threats. In the USA in former years, when people had to give testimony in court, they would swear an oath on the Bible. They would lay their left hand on a Bible and raise their right hand to heaven while swearing to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. Now those last words were really a euphemism. They said, so help me God, but what they really meant is, so curse me God if I'm lying. Even today, people say, I swear to God, and they don't even think about what they mean. But what it really means is I'm swearing an oath with God as my witness, and if I'm lying, may he damn my soul to hell forever. This is why, by the way, perjury or oath-breaking is so grievous. God puts perjurers in the same category as idolaters, murderers, and adulterers. He says through Jeremiah, "Behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, burn incense to Baal, and walk after other gods whom you do not know? And then come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, 'We are delivered to do all these abominations.' Behold, I, even I, have seen it, says the Lord." So consider how seriously you should take your wedding oaths. And for you future Lutheran pastors and church workers and deaconesses, your oath of unconditional subscription to the Book of Concord. That is an oath. It's a promise with a threat. Now then, when God makes an oath, that is the basis of our hope. Because of his oath, we have a strong, comforting hope that what he promises will come true for us. And so really what makes us to be God's people is the hope that we have that's based on God's oath. The author to the Hebrews makes this clear in chapter 3 when he says, "And we are his house, if indeed we hold tight to our confidence and our boasting in our hope." And in chapter 11, right at the beginning, he says, "Faith is the assurance or substance of things hoped for." So hope has a lot to do with faith. Hopeful hearts are believing hearts, the opposite of hardened hearts or despairing hearts. And our hope is based on God's oath. So our text in Hebrews 6 says, "When God desired to show more convincingly or more abundantly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeable character of his purpose, he guaranteed it with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong encouragement or strong consolation." Two unchangeable things. That is, God's word of promise and his oath that he added in Psalm 110. These are unchangeable, and they are based on the unchangeable character of his purpose. That is, God does not change his mind. He is immutable in essence and will. And because of this, his words cannot turn from true to false at some time in the future. He cannot lie, which means he cannot cease to be who he is, the truth. That's who he is, the truth. And so these two unchangeable things, based on God's unchangeable truthfulness, and as a result, we have a strong consolation, a strong hope, based on God's oath. And based on this, you can believe and hope. Because of his unchanging truth, his promise of forgiveness in Jesus Christ will always be there for you. As God said through Malachi, "I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob." So his unchangeability is the basis for his mercy toward us and for our trust in his mercy based on that oath. Now this hope is like an anchor, which we really need. An anchor holds a ship in place on the water if it has some good, firm, underwater rock to grab onto. When the storm winds come or the waves beat against the ship, that anchored ship will be safe, neither capsizing nor breaking against the land. And so also for you, your hope is based on God's oath, which is firm and unmoving. And even though you cannot see what he promised and swore, Your hope, like an anchor hidden underwater, keeps you safe when the storm winds of temptations and the waves of suffering come upon you. It is impossible for God to lie, and he has confirmed his promise with an oath. And so you have strong consolation. He has promised eternal life to you believers in his Son Christ, and he will surely give it. This hope is, according to what Hebrews says to us today, is what enters into the inner place behind the curtain where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Amen.
Amen.
The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Let us pray. O God, so rule and govern our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that ever mindful of your final judgment, we may be stirred up to holiness of living here, and dwell with you in perfect joy hereafter. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Heavenly Father, through the prophet Elijah, you continued the prophetic pattern of teaching your people the true faith and demonstrating through miracles
your presence in creation to heal it of its brokenness. Grant that your church may see in your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, the final end times prophet, whose teaching and miracles continue in your church through the healing and medicine of the gospel and the sacraments, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
O Lord, our heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings being ordered by your governance may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Taught by our Lord and trusting his promises, we are bold to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Son and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve you.